This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance. Welcome to another episode of Faherty Up Close from a Distance. My guest today is one of my very favorite people on this planet, a man that I played with for many years on the European tour. He won the Italian Open and not much else, to be honest. But he was a pretty damn good player. Kind of one of those, he was sort of like me. He was never going to be one of those great top echelon players because he had too much fun. He works for Sky now, our sister network over in the UK. Mr. Richard Boxall. Boxy, great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Fiat, as well. That was some introduction, that. I quite enjoyed that. I'm not so sure I can quite compare my sort of career to yours, really, but you know, we both did win the fifth major, didn't we? Which is the main thing, the Italian Open.
Yeah, exactly. Where are you at the moment?
Right now, I'm just leading this horse race here, which quite comfortably well ahead of half a furlong. No, I'm in the kitchen at home. I think it has to be said that fairly instantly from this lockdown, Fiat, I became virtually overnight a fantastic landscape gardener, a Michelin chef, a domestic Molly maid. I've not used the dishwasher for 4 weeks because it gives me a little bit more time to do things. It's just very, very, it's weird times at the moment, but you know, we're not so long. I think we'll be out the other side fairly soon.
Well, actually, when I asked you where are you, what town are you in? You grew up in Camberley, right?
No, I grew up in Camberley. I've done a lot of traveling. And right now, the home, the domicile, is in Bracknell. Now, you probably know where Bracknell is, I should imagine. You lived around this area for a bit, didn't you?
I did, yeah. You're just west of London, right?
That's right, yeah. About 30 minutes from Heathrow.
Yeah. So you're coping fairly well with the social distancing. I imagine with no pubs being open, it must be an absolute tragedy for you.
Well, it is. It's not good. I mean, I had, as you know, a lot of pubs around this sort of area, especially in England, are called the Fox and Hounds. And you know, with my nickname Boxy, yeah. I opened one up here. Now it's called the Box and Hounds. and it opens at about 6 o'clock most evenings. But so far, there's only been two guests. So struggling a little with the punters coming in.
Golf injuries are, they're not any stranger than the one that you had at the 91 Open at Royal Birkdale. Let me see if I've got this right. You were on the ninth tee playing with Colin Montgomery. Yeah, and you managed to break your own leg on the downswing. Now, I've always said that, it's amazing what people will do to avoid playing the last nine with Monty, but that seems a little extreme.
Well, yes, I had a nickname of, you know, Kit Kat, take a break for a while. But they, I remember I said to Monty in the morning, I said, there's something wrong with my leg. And he's like, I'm trying to win a major, go away. So I said, so we carried on. Anyway, uphill shots were fine because there was more weight on my right hand side. Downhill shots were a bit iffy because my brain is telling me you can't commit and go through this. So I shanked a 2-iron on about the sixth. And again, I said to Monty, I said, there's something wrong. I said, there's something wrong with my leg. He's going, not now. Not now. So we carry on. Anyway, I get to the eighth hole. I hit this 1-iron off the tee straight downwind. It is at a tough eighth hole like that. And I've got to the point where I can't kneel down on all fours to look at a line of a putt. I've got to just kneel down on one knee. So anyway, I'm 40 yards behind Monty on the eighth, and he says to me, there is something wrong with your leg, isn't there? I said, yes, there is. So anyway, cut a long story short, we walk up to the ninth, and you've got those big Schweppes drinks cabinets there, and I thought, right, I've got to commit myself to this tee shot. So I went across, took a drink, went down there, pegged up a 1-iron, ping 1-iron, stood there, and literally no disrespect to anyone playing off 24 handicap. I felt like a 24 handicap. I thought, what am I about to do? I just thought, if I commit to this shot, it might ease what's gone on in my ankle or in my shin. Stood there with a ping 1-iron, hit it. As soon as I hit it, leg snapped in half. Club came out of my hand, hit the deck like a sack of spuds. Everyone was like that. Round two. The first Mrs. Boxall, she was over a hill. She thought I'd been shot, hoping I'd all the insurance tickets. And anyway, they all came bumbling back. Monty was there. He didn't sort of say anything. And then Mark James and Howard Clark came up. And the referee said to them, he said, Mark, can Conor Montgomery join you for the last 10 holes? And Jesse, you know, Jesse, he went, absolutely not. So Monty had to play on, bless him, with a marker until he caught up with, I think it was Vijay Singh and Barry Lane, and then played around with the rest of them. But I always say, it's amazing the extremes you'll go to not to play with Monty, isn't it, Rick?
Absolutely. Talk me through the Italian Open that you won. As you say, you know, we both won it. I won it in 80-something.
That was in Monza. And funnily enough, you feature in some of my after-dinner speeches or whatever, or Q&As that I have to do. You feature in it because I remember I had a 5-shot lead going into the last round. The only thing you could do from there was completely and utterly mess it up. So I remember that evening, before I went to the bedroom, I was going to go up early. And I'd moved hotels into the same hotel as you, and I think Sam was there. And I went off to go to bed. And I remember you shouting to me, you went, "Oi, boxing." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "It was about 9:30. You went, "Do not be ridiculous. You will not sleep. You're coming with me into the old part of Monza." And off he pulled me by the collar, down I went. I said, what are we doing? He said, "We're going to have a drink, possibly two." He said, "Because you won't sleep and you've got a 5-shot lead." And I remember we went, sat down. You might not remember it, but we sat down by a church. And we had, in those days, I was drinking a little bit of Cointreau occasionally. And we used to call them light bulbs of Cointreau because you'd fill the glass up with the ice and you used to mist up like a light bulb. Do you remember that? Anyway, yes. we had a sort of a cafe con leche with that, and we had one or two of those. And off I went to bed at about 11:30. We'd had a lot of rain, and I think it was an early start. It was a 2-tee start on the final day. And I do actually remember getting to the end of my bed and praying for rain. I thought, I can't cope with this. I remember you always saying something about being under pressure. You've got to be a bit perverted if you enjoy being under pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got the end of it, I thought, "Oh, please, God, rain. Please, please, rain. Please, rain." Anyway, I opened the curtains in the morning, bright sunshine. I thought, "Oh, got to get on with it." And I remember getting to the first tee, walked across that huge, great putting green, playing with Romero and Ollie. And I got to the first hole was a par 5. I went par 5, par 4, par 4. And I went, first hole, birdie. From about, I don't know, 25 feet, something like that. Ollie went in, birdie. I then went second hole, 35, 40 footer in, birdie. I thought this was a nice start. Ollie went in. And then on the third hole, I fatted it onto the front of the green on the third and unbelievably hold it from about 70 feet. In it went like that. Ollie goes in from 30 feet. I thought, look, I only want one. I just want one. Now, you've won hundreds of them. Just give me a chance. And I remember I hold a good part on about the 13th to stay 5 ahead. And the next week, Ollie said to me at Wentworth, "It was all over," he said, "by the 13th, when you hold that putt from 20 feet." So I said, "Do you want to have a look at my laundry bill? I can assure you it wasn't over by then." You know, people say it was only one win, but I say it was two, my first and my last. So it was a good year that year. Well, you don't remember, you sort of put the dampeners on me that year because you... When we went to the Dunhill later on in the year, you were captain of the Dunhill side. We played you in the final. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Who was it? You, Rafferty, and Walton, was it?
Philip Walton. Very good, yeah.
That wasn't bad, yeah. And it was me, Jesse, James, Mark James, and Howard Clark.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And you also moved on a little later towards the end of the year, getting near Christmas, when we played in the World Cup at Grand Cyprus.
Oh, yeah.
He played with Rafferty.
That's right.
I can only remember these because I played in them only once. So you played a few. And I remember, I think it was either you or Rash. I think it was Rash shot 63 on the final round.
No, that was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
I love you for that, David. anyway, so that was it. No, but that was my memories of the Italian Open. Hope it didn't go on too long.
Well, you mentioned the Open Championship in which you managed to break your leg in 1991. Yes. With it being cancelled, what's the general feeling in Europe about that?
Well, there was a chat. There was a chat that it could be, you know, they chatted about nudging it down towards sort of October, November time, or sort of, you know, middle of November. And you know what it's like over here. I mean, the links courses are hard enough in the Open Championship in July. I mean, you couldn't, you know, you get to November. I mean, you'd be wearing balaclavas and 14 gloves. And, you know, I mean, and not only that, it's dark as well. You know, the Open Championship, you play till quarter to 10 at night, don't you? If, you know, especially in the first two rounds. In an ideal world, which won't happen, and I know it won't happen, you almost feel like you want to say, OK, well, we finished on March the 10th. Unfortunately, we're going to have to take the whole year off and we're going to go right the way back and we're going to start again on March the 14th with the Indian Open or the Kenyan Open, whatever was the next event. But obviously, you know, world rankings are going to keep moving. Things are going to happen. So that isn't going to happen. And I think if it all does work out all right, I think we're going to, from, I don't know, July-ish time, right the way through till right up to Christmas, I think it's going to be a fairly hectic schedule.
Well, listen, you were one of the first players to use a sports psychologist. Alan Fine, who is also a great friend of mine, rescued my career. And I think the best way to figure out what's going on in your mind is to do a little rapid fire here.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is rapid fire with Richard Boxall. Somebody start a clock. Yeah. What's the first thing you're going to do when the virus is gone?
First thing I'm going to do, cheer.
All right. What's your favorite open venue?
Amir Field.
Your broadcasting hero?
David Fairley.
Oh, no, seriously.
Yeah, I suppose I've got to be serious. Stop the clock. I don't know, you're right up there, Dave. I enjoy you.
It's got to be Peter Alice.
Ah, yes, that's going to be Peter. Yeah, go on.
What is your favourite British meal?
I'm a very great lover of the very slim meals like sausage, egg and chips, ham, egg and chips, that sort of thing. You know, should have married a farmer's wife, really. I'd have been absolutely perfect. Two meat and two veg.
What's the most binge-worthy television show?
I watch 40 Towers on and on and on. I think that's
classic.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic. The most notorious member of the royal family is?
For what?
Yeah, that is the correct answer. Yeah. Give me your favourite foursome. Who would you play with?
I would like to play with George Best, Jack Nicholson, and Clint Eastwood.
Oh, right. That's an interesting one. Yeah. One word to describe Ian Poulter.
One word to describe Ian Poulter, motivational.
One word to describe Justin Rose.
Steady.
One word to describe Monty.
Hang on a minute. One word to describe Monty. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that is it for rapid fire. Boxy, thank you so much for joining me today. It's great to see you. It's great to hear you again, my old friend. You're always a hoot.
Dave, thanks very much. I'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for joining me, Faherty fans. You can find more of the Faherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Faherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19 or Google Play. Search Faherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.